It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Folks, it's time to talk some striper fishing. What do you think? Let's visit today with Mr. Trent Miller, Stripaholic Guide Service. And, you know, Lake Tuwakini is a good lake for a lot of different types of fish. Catfishing, it's as good as it gets there at Tuwakini. The big blues in the winter, and, of course, the oodles of channel catfish throughout the year. But Tuwakini is also an awesome hybrid striper and striper lake. There's a lot of good fish in there. And Trent is on those fish. That's what he does, is, well, Stripaholic Guide Service, guides for stripers down there at Tuwakini. So let's pick Trent's brain this morning, have some fun talking with him, and maybe learn a thing or two. Trent, thank you, buddy, for being with us.
Hey, Luke, thanks for having me.
You bet you, man. You've been guiding down there, fishing and guiding for stripers at Lake Tuwakini a long time. Let's talk about, general patterns that would help. I think that will help people most. You know, for many years, Trent, I wrote a fishing tips column for a big newspaper, maybe one of the biggest in the state. It was, but rather than what happened one particular day, that's always good. It tells you what can happen, you know, on a phenomenal day. But I always like to give patterns when I'm getting fishing information, you know, like this time of year, what's generally happening. So let's concentrate on fishing the next few weeks, say September, you know. The dog days of summer, you know, in the past, everybody knows, like, August is usually not your prime time, but you and your clients been catching some good fish, and it sounds like it's, the fall action is already underway to me.
Well, you know, it's a lot of times this time of year, fishing does slow down. The thermocline squeezes, and it just doesn't make for the best conditions for fishing. But I tell you what, that is not the case this year. You know, each season, in order to really stay on these fish and consistently catch them year round, you've got to change your tactics from season to season. This time of year, you know, the thermocline is squeezed. The live bait season is not doing real well right now, so you got to change tactics. You know, these fish are on the run. They're constantly moving, and, you know, probably the best way to catch them right now is trolling. You know, I really don't like trolling a whole lot, but, hey, put the fish in the box, and it makes for a good day.
You bet. Down rigging, and then a lot of folks use, you know, planer boards to troll with. I fish both ways myself, but for sure. And the thermocline, you might explain a little bit to the folks that many people probably thoroughly understand what's happening, but it's areas where there is no oxygen or very low oxygen, right? And you say it compresses. The fish are going to be in the water that's oxygenated the best, where there's more oxygen, right?
Yeah, that's right. So as, you know, the warmer the water gets, the less oxygen the water holds. So as it gets warmer and warmer, the thermocline, which is typically between, you know, sometimes even the surface all the way down to, say, 30 foot, say in the spring, squeezes, and that squeezes into typically, say, 10 to 25 foot, and late summer, like right now, all the way down to maybe 15 to 20 foot. So if you're not keeping your baits in that thermocline area, most likely you're not getting bit.
Okay, so are you trying to keep it, make sure I understand, keep your baits up above the thermocline where the oxygen is good?
You want to be in the thermocline. I like to be in the top part of the thermocline because fish typically try to feed up. So, you know, if you turn up the sensitivity on your graph, a lot of times you'll see your thermocline. You'll see where, you know, they're just look a little bit fuzzier in, say, that 10 to 25 foot of water. So typically the bigger fish are going to be in the bottom part of that thermocline because that's the colder water. And they'll come up to feed. So I like to be, you know, just in the thermocline for sure. Now, this time of year, these fish are still running up on humps. So, you know, really what I'm doing mostly is dragging baits in that 15 to 20 foot of water on the edge of humps because fish are coming up to feed, but yet staying in that cold water. And the fish that are out in open water, a lot of times they're just out there not real active. So still your humps are still good.
A reaction bite, you know, Trent. That's what you're doing. I know that. Let's concentrate on trolling a little bit. Now, not everybody is set up with downriggers with balls, and they can drop them down to certain depths. And that is probably the most specialized form of fishing that there is, striper fishing especially, you know, is running downriggers. You got to know what's under the boat. You got to know a lot of things to be proficient with downriggers. But, the past, decade probably, big hellbenders with pet spoon trailers. Now, they're absolutely lethal on white bass, sand bass. But a lot of people, use big oversized crankbaits to get striper baits down sometimes, don't they?
No, that's what I use.
I figured it out. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, good. No, good. Tell us how you do it. I think that would help some folks, too.
Yeah, I'll use DD22. So, the main thing is getting the deepest diving crankbait that you can. And so I'll take the hooks off, have that on the very bottom, come up about 18 inches, three-way swivel, tie on a leader, sassy shad, and then come up another, say, 10 inches with another three-way swivel and add another sassy shadow leader. So what's happening is you want that crankbait to dig in the bottom as you're going along the edge of that hump. So what that does is that pulls up kind of a smoke behind that bait. Fish see that, and right above that, they're seeing these two sassy shads swimming along, and you get that reaction bite.
You know what? I just learned something, Trent. That's a technique that I've never used or fished with anybody that used it just quite like that. Usually, or always, there's a deep diving crankbait, hooks removed, the one like you use, or big old hellbender, whatever. And there's a leader, and then there's the bait. I like what you're doing because that mud, furrowing up that mud on the bottom, that's, we just have to key in on that, and the sound that bill of that bait makes hitting the bottom of the lake, on these humps especially. And then you give them two choices. I mean, your hellbender's on the bottom, you have a leader, let's call it, coming up, and then a three-way swivel. How long is the leader that you tie your sassy shad to?
The bottom one is about, I would say, about 8 to 10 inches long.
Uh-huh, yep.
And the top one is just a little bit longer. So what you want to do is once you get them tied on and you just kind of hold your rig up, you want to make sure that the top sassy shad isn't past or at the same level as the bottom sassy shad if you're just letting gravity pull your baits down. That way it won't get hung up or it won't get tangled up as bad.
Okay.
They run a little bit better that way.
And then the sassy shad itself, color and size that you use, Trent?
You always need strong hooks anytime you're dealing with striper. So I'll try to go with about a quarter ounce. It's at the very most a half ounce head, on a strong hook. And then, Tuolumne is kind of a, I don't want to say it's a muddy lake, but it's a little stained a little bit.
Yeah.
Chartreuse is, you can never go wrong with chartreuse.
I just ought to already guessed what you were going to tell me, Trent. Yep. I guess there's been as many stripers caught on sassy shad as anything, Well, this technique catches fish two ways. I can see that, fish holding on structure, humps, when you're trolling over there. And you can actually feel the bottom when you're trolling like that. But also, reaction bites on fish that are scattered, right?
You're really having to manufacture bites this time of year because a lot of times the fish, they're not active very long, if at all. And, if you get them to where they're cruising in the same area, in their feeding areas, they may not be feeding, but if you can get a reaction bite from that smoke screen that you're leaving behind with the crankbait dragging the bottom. And then they have two different options above that. You're really manufacturing bites when, other times, maybe it's a tough day for you.
Yep. Good tips, Trent. Very, very good tips. And anyone with a boat that can idle down, to idle speed, or a trolling speed is in the ball game right here. No specialized downrigger balls and outriggers for downrigging, none of that stuff is necessary. It's really a simple way. How many rods will you troll with when you say you've got, a few clients out there with you? How many rods will you put down and troll?
I can only do two at a time and not get hung up together.
Yeah,
I'll try three sometimes, and invariably what happens is, on your turns, et cetera, things get tangled up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought maybe you'd use two, and that makes perfect sense. Now, September is what we're talking about in stripers and hybrid stripers at Tuwakini. Is there, as far as like a migration of fish, are most of them holding in the mid to lower lake right now, Trent?
They're going to mostly be in the lower lake now because the water temperatures, and they're liking that deep water, that colder water. No, if you go to sand bass, you can catch those on the mid-lake areas. But, your bigger striper and hybrid, they're mostly going to be in the lower lake.
What's the percentage of stripers to hybrid stripers that you catch using this technique?
It kind of depends on just, your location and how luck plays out for you. My last trip, we caught nothing but striper. There's going to be times when you hit hybrids and going to be a mixture of both. Tuwakini, they stock both in big numbers, and it's really just luck of the draw, to be honest with you.
Yeah, oh yeah. There's no way to...
No
way to differentiate them, till you get them in the boat. What's an 8 or 9 pound striper still, that's a pretty good fish, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very good fish. Your average Tuwakini striper is probably going to be about 6 pounds. And anytime you're getting over 8 pounds, you're on some pretty good fish.
You betcha. Well, Trent, we have a little over a minute to visit. I want to make sure that all of our listeners connect with you. I know there's a website. We're going to give your phone number too. And folks, remember, these shows that I do, I've been doing them for years here, but we try to keep things current. And I always try to give information that you can, that waste. It does little good just for you to get some information and not being able to follow up on it. So I want to hook you up with these, all my guests. Now, Trent Miller, Stripaholic, at STRIPAHOLIC, stripaholic.com, I believe, Trent. But is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Yep. Okay. How about giving a phone number where folks could give you a call and talk striper fishing at Tuwakini or maybe plan a trip with you?
Yeah, and the phone number is the best way to contact me. That number is 903-530-1710.
Okay, Trent, I'll repeat it for folks that might be rolling down the road. It's 903-530-1710, right?
That is correct.
Well, buddy, we'll get you back soon. Good fishing to you. I keep up with you on Facebook. I see pictures that you post. We'll get you back soon, and maybe when the fall bite kicks on, we might give some tips on that. How about it?
That sounds great. Thanks so much, Luke.
You bet. Thank you.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at ketr.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smokin' Tex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 889-KETR.